Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, your host. Excited to be here with you on another beautiful fall afternoon. I can't believe it's November. Can you? Wow, has this year flown by? It's tax planning season again. Making sure that's what it means to me. Also Thanksgiving, you know, a little bit of Halloween and Christmas, the holidays, love it. But boy, it's a busy time of year. For me, helping clients year-end planning, we're just busy, busier than a one-armed paper hanger. Is that what they say? So, busy time. Thank you for joining me today. I know that some of you are catching this on podcast after the fact on a recorded show off Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. Welcome, and we got just a large number of live listeners today. Thank you so much for listening in. We really appreciate your time and the time you take away from your lunch hour or your hopefully you're grabbing a sandwich or returning some emails while you're listening at your desktop or out on the road in your car. Thank you for listening in. We work hard to make sure that we have a great show every week, and we've got a tremendous guest today. So excited about today's topic. We're going to be talking about training your mindset, your brain, your thinking, so that you can be more successful with your approach to everything, and that positive mental attitude, as well as being effective and efficient and not procrastinating. Whatever your struggles are, you can program your mind to overcome that. So we've got Kathy Pidwell that will be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. Just an amazing wealth of information. So we'll be getting to that shortly. Also want to thank Lisa Owens in the studio, as usual, running the show, making sure we've got all of the moving parts going on behind the scenes. She's my Robin. She does a great job and holds it all together. So we really appreciate her back in the studio. So, another busy time of a year, like I said, and I wanted to mention the newsletter. For those that haven't had a chance to look at the newsletter, some great articles this week, some things that I need to highlight that I think are important. If you haven't had a chance, I'll just kind of give a quick news update, if you will. A couple more workshops left. Last weekend I was in Seattle. What a beautiful time. It was raining the whole time. It was perfect. It was like a perfect Seattle weekend. I just soaked it up, literally. It was wonderful. Orange County is coming up here in a week and a half or so. It's November 22nd, and excited to spend that time with you. It's going to be in Laguna Niguel at the community center there. We've got a great space. It'll be very comfortable and easy. So please come out on November 22nd if you're in the Orange County area. And then December 13th in Honolulu for our Hawaii clients over there. And we've got our new Hawaii office open. I know I want to let all of you know, we opened the Hawaii office for you. It really was a sacrifice on our part. I've got to go over there all the time now and check on it. It's not something I want to do. It's a lot of work. But I did it for you so that you can get a tax write-off when you end up going to Hawaii now. You can stop in, check out the office, talk to our bookkeeper over there that's helping do books for clients around the country remotely, and also for our local Hawaii clients. So you'll get to know Alyssa Coloma. She's wonderful. So please stop in over there. But no, I'd love to go to Hawaii, of course. My daughter is applying, Allison, to BYU Hawaii. She should be there next fall. I did a year of school in Hawaii back in the day. It was tough. I had surfing class and tennis class and still managed to get a terrible GPA that first year. I think it took me 5 years to dig myself out of that hole, but it was such a wonderful time. beautiful time. So anyway, well, several articles in the newsletter too. Please check them out. Matt Sorensen talking about inheriting an IRA or 401k, a retirement plan from a family member or friend. There's a lot of weird little issues to consider if you inherit a retirement plan. I talked about 6 ways to protect your home from a lawsuit. And the big announcement, of course, this week is the Obamacare enrollment period begins November 15th. So I wrote an article on choosing the right health insurance plan. Please check that out. I did a webinar last week. It was for an hour and a half. Incredible webinar. As I prepared for this webinar, I learned some new techniques in saving money with healthcare. I had several people that joined the webinar that said, Mark, that's been your best webinar ever. If you missed it, it was recorded. And it was on healthcare strategies for writing off all your medical expenses, how an HRA 105 plan is even more beneficial than ever before for a small business owner, how you can use a health savings account, how to write off your insurance. Oh, incredible. So if you'd like to tune in and catch that webinar and any other prior recordings, it's $20 to have access to all that. Please call Justin Brault at the office. Just ask for Justin or email justin@markjkohler.com. So we had just a few announcements there and some little news, other little updates and announcements in the newsletter. Please check it out. If you're not on the newsletter, you can sign up at any of the websites, kneedcpas.com, markjkohler.com, kqslawyers.com. If you're listening to this radio show, you already know how to track us down. So please go check that out and sign up for the newsletter. There's a free ebook on my website as well as on Matt Sorensen's. If you sign up for the newsletter, you get an excerpt from Matt's new book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. Fantastic book. So you may want to sign up even over on Matt's website rather than mine. You sign up on both. Get both ebooks for free. So anyway, in fact, I think we've got Matt Sorensen on the line. Yep, got a note from Lisa here. Matt Sorensen is here. He's going to be one of our experts today, sharing a tip with us from his consultations this last week or two. We're so excited to have him join us. Matt Sorensen, the myth, the legend. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Always a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you here. That's what it's all about.
By the way, I really enjoyed your Seattle joke. That was awesome. And your Hawaii jokes. I mean, you've been on a roll with jokes here. I've just been laughing and enjoying the comedy show.
Wow, thank you. I'm sure if you don't know this is Matt with his sarcasm here. I'm sure.
No, this is genuine. This is genuine, Matt.
How did you like that?
You know, you got to lighten it up. I'm about to talk about inheriting an IRA. So, you know,
yes.
Talk about a killer.
See, Matt, you can give joke. You can do jokes too. Talk about
a
killer.
I'll lay people to rest on this one.
Yeah. That was good. See, you can do it too. You're funny, Matt.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to talk about your article then. You're going to tell us what to know when a loved one, which is, I know, is of course a very sensitive matter. I had a client in yesterday. It was very sensitive meeting. But when someone passes away, and there's some decisions to make. It sounds like people sometimes don't know what their options are.
Yeah. So it really boils down to 3 different options. If someone passes away, and this is non-spouse, by the way, if your spouse passes away, you can typically roll over their account, let's say it's an IRA, into your own IRA. There's different spousal rollover rules. So I just want to state that at the outset. For all others, though, let's say it's another family member, a parent, a sibling, you know, whatever it may be, if you're inheriting an account from a non-spouse, some other person, then you basically have 3 choices on what to do. And each of them have their own pros and cons in terms of tax consequences and in terms of do I actually get to spend the money now. But I think everybody needs to understand the different 3 options.
Okay, I like it. I've already got a couple questions I want to ask you too. So go for it. Lay them out.
All right, so the first obviously is I want the money now and I want to spend it on things I want to right now. If you do that, you're going to have to take a distribution, which means you're going to get a 1099-R from the custodian of that retirement account for your share of the inheritance of the IRA. It could be the entire IRA you were supposed to receive, or maybe, you know, you got half and your brother got half or something like that. But But if you take the distribution, you got to be careful about this before you pull the trigger. You're going to receive a 1099-R for the share of the funds that you receive, which means you're going to pay taxes. Second option is...
Now, Matt, that also, there's no penalty. You said that, right? Penalty-free. So I can just take the IRA. Okay, good.
Correct. So you're going to get, you're just going to pay taxes on it. So you just get a 1099-R for the amount you take.
Now, let me just indicate that if you have a a brand new graduated teenager that's 18 or 19 years old, guess which option they're going to choose?
Right.
Oh, I'll take the money. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Okay, that's option one.
Yeah. Okay, I can't solve all issues. Just letting you know the choices. Option two is rolling the funds into an inherited IRA. This is a special type of IRA whereby the funds get rolled over. It does not get rolled into your account if you have an existing IRA or the retirement account. This has to go into a separate inherited IRA, and you take the funds out over time. You're going to have required minimum distributions based on your life expectancy, which if you're younger than the person that passed away is usually a good thing. That allows you to stretch out the time period of the retirement plan being a tax-deferred, if we're talking about a traditional IRA here, a tax-deferred account. A lot of people refer to these inherited IRAs as stretch IRAs because you're inheriting the account and you're stretching the distributions out over time, thereby taking smaller amounts each year, which keeps your tax rate low because you don't have a big lump sum in one tax year, and also allows the account, you know, to stay invested and grow without paying any income taxes or capital gains taxes on the income that the IRA is making from investments. There's a lot of rules to the inherited IRAs. If you go down that path, there's all these rules. Was the person who you inherited the account 70 and a half or not? Were they over or under? There's different rules in terms of your options there. But bottom line, you're at least going to be able to stretch out the retirement account over your life expectancy, which is better from a tax standpoint than taking an outright distribution.
Well, okay. Love it. And I would facetiously say that someone that's – and I'm setting up for an option here that I kind of want to ask you about, Matt. But, again, your beneficiary that's anxious to get money and doesn't have a lot of self-discipline, they may not choose the stretch option. But someone that is a little more financially savvy, they're going to see the benefits of stretching this thing out. So, anyway, again, pros and cons. Okay, third option.
Absolutely. Okay, the third option, which is one I helped the client with recently analyzing, is disclaiming the IRA. So if you were listed as a beneficiary on a retirement account, let's say an IRA, and you did not want the funds and wanted to disclaim your interest, you may do this for a number of reasons, one of which is you don't need the money and want to pass it along to another generation or to another family member, and you just don't want it part of your estate. There is an option to disclaim that. Also, sometimes you'll have, let's say in the case of children, a parent passes away, children, you may have some siblings who say, hey, I'd rather have X asset or this rental property or the house, and you take the retirement account, and there could be maybe some disclaiming of the retirement account so that one of the children, for example, receives a larger share of the retirement plan, while the person who disclaimed gets maybe a greater share of some other assets in the estate. A little tricky to work through, but that's an option in disclaiming the funds. Just keep in mind if you do disclaim, you got to be very careful about who's listed as alternative beneficiaries on the beneficiary designation form.
Okay.
The most common, let me just say, the most common is to do an inherited IRA. I think in terms of the best choice, maybe the distribution is more common, but I think the smart choice is the inherited IRA because you can
stretch
out tax-deferred steps. Exactly.
The stretch. Okay, now I want to just throw this out quickly. We've got Liddell Ayer on the line. We're excited to have him share a tip, and Cappy Pidwell will be joining us here shortly at the bottom of the hour. So just briefly and quickly, Matt, what I've seen when you do have maybe a financially irresponsible beneficiary, or they're younger, I'm not saying that, you know, rudely, they could be, act like they're 18, they could be 30, they could be 40, whatever. One of the options is having the IRA actually, or the 401k or whatever it is, actually go into a trust where you may say that may not be the best for tax planning, but it does put some restrictions so that that child doesn't screw up and just take the money and blow it. What are your? Can you briefly tell us what our options are there with these see-through type trusts, and is that what would be the options when that happens?
Well, the hard part about the trust is it does have to be a see-through trust, which is requires some specific terms in the trust, which is going to be that the heir to that account is readily identifiable and can essentially take that account. And so the trustee is not going to have control really in terms of withholding that retirement plan, from my understanding, from the heir to that account.
Okay. So in that...
In order for it to not be distributed.
Right. So if you don't want it to be distributed immediately, if you don't want it to be distributed immediately, I'm going to say it that way. If I don't want it to be distributed immediately and the kid's going to blow it and I put it in the trust, then it would essentially be taxable, but then it would be distributed over time according to the terms of the trust. So it may not be the best tax result, but the trustee could have control rather than the beneficiary.
Right, that's a good way. You would get more control in terms of the trustee withholding distributions, being in a approving distributions too, but you're not going to be able to stretch out the IRA in that instance.
Yeah, and I want to say that KKOS Lawyers, in our trusts, we actually have a section titled See-Through Provisions, so we can address that when you have, again, minor children or children that act like minors and you have an IRA or 401k. And Julie Deck, our amazing paralegal, can help get the process started on an estate plan like that. We won't bring up Roths. Maybe another day. Matt, next time you join us, we've got to talk about inherited Roths, which are amazing. So we'll maybe hit that another day. But
that's an upcoming blog article, so stay tuned.
Okay, stay tuned for part two,
The
Roth Inherited IRA. Okay, you too can go to the hospital and buy someone's Roth IRA on their deathbed and transfer it.
Yeah.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds crazy,
Matt,
but it happens.
It happens, yeah. So we'll talk about that. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. You're awesome. We appreciate you, and we'll see you in a few weeks here. It'll be closer to Christmas next time we catch you.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, well, folks, I want to bring on one of our other experts here that's a regular contributor to the show. It is the one, the only, Liddell Ayer, the partner in K&E CPAs, lifelong friend, Liddell. He's joining us. Liddell, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mark.
Oh, good. Well, gosh, you sound a little chipper. I was going to just warn everybody that Liddell is probably going to be in a bad mood. He's not going to be happy, because Liddell has not yet got his deer this year. He went out all week trudging over the mountains, which I do not understand, hiking over these mountains. But Liddell, what happened? Why did you not get this deer?
The family's going to starve. I think the big black bear that I saw had eaten them all.
Oh, you saw a bear out there?
I saw a huge black bear.
Wow. That's
like the size of the size of a grizzly bear type bear.
Wow. Were you far away, or were you a little nervous?
I was a little ways away, 400 or 500 yards, so I wasn't nervous.
Oh.
But it was a big black bear, and I think he ate all the deer, so my family will starve this winter.
Yeah. See, Liddell, he's painting the wrong picture here. Liddell saw deer, but none of them were big enough to shoot. Isn't that the reality, Liddell?
Yeah, that's the reality. I could have had meat on the table, but I chose not to.
Antlers just weren't big enough. All right.
Yep.
Well, at least you're being honest. I pulled out the truth here.
I did also see some Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, a snowshoe hare. It's all about being in the mountains and hiking and seeing wildlife and seeing various things. It's kind of neat to see those animals you don't see all the time. So no blood was shed, no meat on the table, but there was good experiences.
Oh, man, that's funny. Well, thank you so much. Well, Liddell, have you got a tax tip for us here before we get into our topic for the day? What have you got? Anything new, kind of year-end planning point?
Nothing year-end planning point, more of continual planning points. This has to do with travel and entertainment, meals, expense deductions. Everybody has those. Everybody that's in business has those. if you get audited, those are going to be definitely one of the main things the IRS looks at when they do perform an audit on your books and records. And I just want to throw out some pointers there when it has to do with substantiating these expenses. You know, the IRS says you must maintain adequate records. And what is adequate record, adequate records mean? When you think about adequate records, you're going to think, okay, they're going to want an account diary, a logbook, you know, statements or records of that expense. They're going to want to see trip, receipts, trip sheets, or anything similar to that kind of stuff. They're going to want some documentation of why the expense was incurred. They're going to want you to be able to support that expense, and by supporting that expense, you're going to have documentary evidence, which is going to be the receipts, canceled checks, or bills, or all of the above. You might have a canceled check that you attach a receipt to, or you might have a bill that you attach a canceled check to. Those are always going to support your deduction. And also, documentation includes the amount of the expense, the date the expense was incurred, and the place the expense was incurred. All those kind of things help document that this business expense actually happened, and why it was a next business expense, and who you were with, and why you were there, and what you were talking about, sort of thing. So all of that supports it.
Liddell, you're killing me here. Who wants to go through all this? You're killing me here. This is brutal.
Well, if you want the expense deduction solidified in stone, yes, you got to go through.
Okay.
All that.
Well, let's talk about a couple practical ideas here, because I being out on the road once in a while, I can sense some people are driving down the road listening to the show, and they're going to careen into the other lane and just, you know, end it all right now. So let me throw out one extreme.
Then they'd have automobile repair expense.
Yeah, and they'd have stepped up basis maybe even if they met their demise. Okay, so let's throw it out this way. On one extreme, if you're paying for meals and entertainment, dining, you know, all that with cash, you're obviously not going to have a write-off. It's going to be terrible. Do not pay for dining and entertainment with cash. There's on one extreme. I think you're never going to win that argument, and it's going to be really hard to track as well. On the other extreme, we could go to some of that extent where we feel like we're writing a daily journal of our life story, and it can be a little over the top. And no one's going to really go to that extent. I know that I don't oftentimes go to the extent maybe that the IRS would like. But let me throw out this happy medium. Let me know, Liddell, what you think about this. One thing that I've said a lot in workshops lately, too, is just having a good Outlook calendar, a good Google calendar. Keep your phone keep your phone up to date. Who am I meeting with? Who did I go to lunch with? So that if you had to track down, if you had to show verification of a receipt on a particular day because you went to Applebee's, maybe you didn't write on the actual receipt that you went to Applebee's and had lunch with someone, but at least it's in your calendar. So you keep a good calendar of where you're going, what meetings you're doing, why you did go on a trip or have a little entertainment with someone, and then keep your receipts. And if you had to, you could always match those up under an audit experience. Do you think if most people did that, they'd be generally okay, Liddell? Or do you think that itself is not enough? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think you'd be okay in that regard, because you are keeping records. You're keeping a log. I mean, your appointment book is a log. You're documenting in that calendar who you were meeting with, you know, and maybe in your little notes on your calendar you got what you were meeting about, and then you've got your receipt. I mean, you can match those back up if you keep those receipts from that lunch or from that hotel, whatever expense you were incurring. Yeah, by keeping a calendar, you're logging your business expense.
Okay, good. So I think that's important for people that may have been initially with your statement a little overwhelmed. But again, I want to say this. I think, Liddell, you've had the same experience where an IRS agent has said, have your client print out their calendar. Show me their, you know, what they've been doing to substantiate real estate professional or the trip or who they were with. So some people say, well, Mark, I actually met a client last week on the phone that said, Mark, as soon as I finish an appointment, I delete it out of my calendar. I like to have it gone. And I was thinking, no, keep those calendar records because that becomes a great log. Liddell, you probably had that experience with agents as well.
Yeah, I've had an experience where the client actually kept like the old hang on the wall calendar and had what they had, you know, they had their appointments written on there. And it actually worked, you know, to substantiate all that travel and meals and entertainment deduction. Because that calendar, even though it was a paper calendar, they did keep track of it. They did write down on who they met with, and, you know, they weren't really efficient with the new smartphones, and they were still kind of old school. But it worked because it was a log. Anything that logged that documentary evidence works perfectly fine if you got the receipt, you know, or the bill to go along with it.
Well, I love it. Now, I'm going to throw out, just in summary, three tips from my perspective, and Liddell, maybe you have a summary point. And also, we got a comment on the chat line from Thomas. He says, I use Evernote and write down what I talked about and take a picture of the receipt in case the receipt paper fades. So take a picture with your phone, use Evernote or Google Docs or iCloud or something where all these little receipts and notes can go someplace. And then 3 years from now, if you have to print them out, you can. But here's my three points. Number one, keep a good calendar, folks. Number two, keep your receipts. Put them in a pile somewhere and just scan them in. If you need them, you can organize them later. And number three, don't use cash and use some sort of counting system so that you can track where your expenses are going. If you can do those three things, 90% of the time, you're going to sail right through any sort of audit and be just fine. But if you're keeping crappy records, you're using cash, and you're not keeping receipts, train wreck. So, Liddell, final points,
yep.
Suggestions, you agree? Any other thing you'd add to that?
Yeah, that's perfect. You know, they're going to look at several things. They're going to look at the type of expense, and if you're missing anything or missing any documentation. And so whatever you can do to substantiate that expense with logbooks, records, receipts, it's all the better. You fly right through an audit.
I love it. Well, Liddell, thanks for joining us, and I hope you still get your deer this year. You're not done shooting, right?
I'm done.
You're done?
Yep, I'm done.
Well, so, I'm sorry. Maybe
better
next
luck
year.
Next year.
There you go. Thanks so much, Liddell. I appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks. Talk to you later.
All right, folks. Well, you know how to track Liddell and Matt down. If you're listening to the show, you know our website, our phone number. Give us a buzz if you'd like a consult with those guys. Great comments. Well, folks, it is the time of the hour where I get to introduce our special guest. I've sent out a lot of emails to let people know that she'll be joining us. It's been a couple years since she's been on the show, and since then, she's even gotten more and more popular. It's an honor to have her here on the show. This is Cappy Pidwell, not only smart and motivating and full of energy. She's also beautiful. If you get to her website, you'll just be like, oh my gosh, she's a triple threat. Cappy is the leading expert in human behavior as a master of NLP. That's neuro-linguistic programming. If you've never heard about it, I'm sure she's going to tell us about it today, and you're going to be really fascinated about how this can help you in your business. She also does advanced hypnotherapy. She's been studying human behavior for over 18 years. She's been educating, speaking, and coaching entrepreneurs and all sorts of big companies, traveling around the country, giving workshops. She speaks on personal empowerment, sales, wealth consciousness, building self-esteem, communication and fluent skills, rapport. It's just all just incredible. And I just love it every time I bump into her because I just get motivated myself and feel like I'm more empowered and my self-esteem goes up. So without any further ado, I'm so glad to welcome to the show Cappy Pidwell. Cappy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here today. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. It's fun.
Well, you bet. And I hope you learned a little something about the death of family or tax tips for your for your entertainment or dining. So I don't know if you caught any of that.
I was like, wow, I have a great calendar. I'm really happy I have that.
Yeah, it helps. It does. A good calendar is always good. Well, Cappy, we are so grateful to have you here with us today. And I really sent out a lot of notes to clients about how they could better program their minds, program their brains to succeed. And so please tell us, is this possible? What is this all about? Is this even a worthwhile topic? Tell us how excited you are about this.
Well, worthwhile, it's way beyond worthwhile. It is basically the hard drive, if you will, of all of our behaviors is in our mindset. And, you know, I teach people the inner game of wealth. So there's people like you that teach the outer game and all the skills and the how-tos, and they're critical. A lot of people don't know how to manage money. They don't know how to, you know, invest in money and that type of thing. So what you teach people is it's fabulous, and I love it. What I teach people is I really address their inner personal relationship to money. And when I start having these conversations and I go out and speak to people about money, it's typically entrepreneurs, people that are self-employed, and I find that people get into business because they want to make money and they want freedom. And a lot of times they have freedom and not the kind of money they want to make. So when you begin looking at the dynamics of an individual's relationship to money, and when I start talking about it as a relationship, most people don't look at money like that. They look at it as something they have to go make or get or have. But the reality is we all, from a very early age, started hearing things about money. And some people were fortunate and blessed enough to hear very positive things about money, like money's easy to make and there's plenty of money and, you know, money's all over the world and everybody has it. Some people got that. People heard things like money doesn't grow on trees, you have to work hard for money, there isn't enough money, we don't have the money. So those core beliefs get ingrained like an old tape playing over and over and over in people's minds. And so what I do is I really help people in their subconscious mind begin to identify those limiting beliefs that keep them repeating old behaviors with money. And what's fascinating to me is I had a guy come and see me just a few weeks ago, and he's extremely successful. He makes several millions of dollars a year. He's a real estate investor. And I saw his wife for some health issues, and he said, you know, her results were so immediate that he wanted to come and see me. And so I said, well, what are you here for? And he said, I want to talk to you about money. And I said, okay, well, that's mostly what I talk to people about. And he said, yeah, I make a lot of money. That's not the problem. But I don't sleep very well, and I don't enjoy my life because I can't travel. I don't go anywhere. I'm so afraid that if I leave or leave the country or do something, that somebody's going to do something with my money. So his stress over managing his money was really, really high, and they hadn't taken a vacation in 20 years.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's serious.
People have, yeah, I'm serious. And so people have
no wonder you had money. That's why he had money.
Exactly. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah. If you travel like the rest of us, he'd be broke. So, you know.
So, but my to that is, you know, here's somebody that's, you know, making several millions of dollars a year, but he just couldn't really. He said, my mother always told me, and when we really got into the belief about it, you know, his mother always said, you know, money's hard to get and, you know, people will take advantage of you, you know, if you have a lot of money. So his beliefs around that were still running all his behaviors, even though he's, you know, in his 50s. So it's fascinating when you really start to look at the subconscious mind and how we're wired and how even logically we can read a book or we can go to a seminar, or we can listen to a great, you know, CD and go, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that. And everybody, you know, people have good intentions to do it, but then their behavior doesn't follow that. And then it becomes, you know, a really good self-help book and it sits on the shelf and you look at it and go, wow, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to do that someday. And that's really what I get into.
Well, so I think all of us listening here, I can buy into the fact that the way we're raised, the way we're taught can affect our relationships, our work ethic, the way we spend money, the way we exercise, the way we eat. So we've kind of been programmed in a number of areas, I'm sure, including money.
Yeah.
So this NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Yep.
What does that entail? How are we really able, without going and spending thousands of dollars with some, you know, retreat to some think tank and
right.
they plug wires in our heads and all this stuff, how does NLP work on a day-to-day
okay.
basis of trying to reprogram us? What's that art or science all about?
Yeah, so I'll give you the nutshell version for your listeners. So
please, yeah.
Basically, you know, NLP and advanced hypnotherapy, I'm a practitioner of both. I really, really love hypnotherapy. It's really what I'm more passionate about. And, of course, I became a master of NLP because they kind of go hand in hand. But how I like to explain the mind in general, not even titling it NLP or hypnotherapy or whatever, but the mind, body, spirit, right? So when you think of your mind, when I ask a person, what is your subconscious mind? Well, oftentimes people just kind of sit there and, you know, they have to think about it. They don't really know. And they go, well, it's where memories are stored or it's my past or whatever. But when you think about today, and I show this when I speak, I show an iPhone and, you know, a Mac and a computer and all our technology. We know how to program the settings on our technology, and we will spend so much time learning how to go into the settings and change the ringer and change the look and the, you know, whatever. And yet most people don't know how to change the settings in their mind. So the simplest way to explain the mind is there's two parts, the conscious and the subconscious. The conscious mind speaks to us internally, which means our self-talk talks to us at up to 500 words a minute. That's a busy person being busy and thinking, right? So even as I'm talking right now, people are driving or they're on their computers or they're doing whatever. They're, you know, a lot of people multitask. So they're still having that internal conversation. So when we think about our internal conversations and things that we're telling ourselves or thinking about, that is on autopilot.
And that's conscious. That's the conscious.
That's the conscious mind, yes.
Conscious mind, okay.
Yes. So that's 5 to 10% of the mind. So what I tell people often is think of a circle. And if you were to just chart out 5 to 10% of that, that would be your conscious, critical, logical mind. That's where most people are trying to change and most people are trying to learn and most people are trying to develop, you know, financial wealth is in the conscious, logical mind. The other 90% of that circle is what I consider your subconscious mind. So we've heard researchers say we only use 5 to 10% of the mind. What they're referring to is your logical mind. But the subconscious mind beats your heart over 86,000 times a day. It breathes your body. It's flowing everything 24/7, even when you're sleeping. So since most people don't know how to access the subconscious mind, they often struggle or repeat patterns and behaviors that they know they don't want. But in their subconscious mind, which is 90%, again, do the math, you know, 90 or 10, the 90% will always win. So when people say, you know, how do I make this change? It's by accessing the subconscious mind. And it's not difficult. We do it every single day naturally. We're in and out of different states of mind all day, every day. When people are tired, they're highly suggestible. When they're in their cars, they're suggestible. So a lot of times people go, well, you know, I don't believe in hypnosis. And I always crack up and I say, the reality is you've been hypnotized your entire life. I'm the on-hypnotizer. I have to on-hypnotize you from beliefs and behaviors that no longer serve you. So when we understand that our mind is very, very suggestible when we're in certain states of mind, then if we want something to change and you work with somebody that, you know, like myself, or you understand how to go into an alpha relaxed state of mind and just saturate your mind with good stuff. For instance, here's a perfect example. If you go to bed at night and you're watching the news or you're watching CSI, Murder Mystery, or Law and Order or something, and you're falling asleep to that kind of stuff, all that audio, that information is going into your subconscious mind as you fall asleep. So I tell people, you know, think of your mind like a bank. What are you depositing into your subconscious mind every day? And most people are bombarded with stress and worry and fears and concerns. So I really encourage people to just educate themselves. Take 10 minutes a day. It's not that difficult. I have a free sample session on my website. If any of your listeners want it, they can go download it. But it is a daily practice. It's something that if you spend 10 minutes a day really getting to know yourself and start to identify those limiting beliefs, you know, what do you believe about your success? What do you believe about money? What do you believe about your body? You know, whatever it is that they want to identify, you have to start with identifying what you believe in the first place. And most people don't. They're trying to visualize the future or get an outcome, but they have a belief that's in complete conflict. So their behavior doesn't necessarily align with the thing that they want to accomplish. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I've seen on practical levels is as well is if you have someone that understands hypnotherapy, you'd sit down and they take you to a relaxed state and then tell you to you kind of program your mind with positive statements and try to train you to think in a different way. But even if you don't have that support or the budget or the time to do that, I hear of people reading to themselves positive statements before they go to bed, when they wake up in the morning, creating a tape and playing it to themselves as they go to sleep and trying to program the subconscious that you are a winner, you can do it, don't be negative or don't spend money frivolously, you can be more frugal or whatever the problem is, once you identify it, is that how it kind of works too? Is you're trying to program your mind when you're in a relaxed state before sleep, in the mornings, or I don't know, what is that the practical steps that one might take in different ways?
Yes, I mean, it's exactly. So before we go to sleep, so, you know, and again, I'm trying to give you the nutshell version, but we have four basic states of mind, you know, that we go in and out of every day. So we have our, we have beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And so when we're fully awake, we're in beta. And again, that's where most people are trying to create the change. When we're drifty, we go into alpha when we fall asleep. Theta is kind of in between sleep and awake. And then delta, of course, is when we go to sleep at night. So the reason people suggest that you do it before bed is because you're already starting to relax. You're drifting naturally into the alpha, theta, and then eventually delta sleep. So anytime you access the alpha, theta, delta states, you are accessing your subconscious mind. Now, what's important for people to understand is you said, and they're like, don't think negative. The subconscious mind is very specific, and oftentimes people try to make themselves tapes, but they don't know how to communicate to the subconscious mind. So if I say, don't think negative, what do you hear?
It's very general.
Yeah, but it, the unconscious, take don't off the front, and it just says think negative. So that's what the unconscious mind would hear. It's kind of like if you say, don't slam the door, what happens?
Oh, so you want to speak in affirmations instead of don't do this, do this. So that would be one example. So as you're trained in this, you've learned the proper way to create this type of programming.
Exactly. And a lot of people will show me their goals or show me their affirmations, and I read them, and I'm like, you are programming yourself to fail, literally, by saying, So people,
very interesting.
The language patterns, and that's what NLP is, the power of language and the patterning that you put in the unconscious are very specific. So when I work with a client, like, you know, I have a program called Mental Money Mastery, and it's all on people's relationship to wealth. And what I start with is, where are you currently in your life right now? Because most people, when they're working on an issue, they're either going way in the past or way in the future. And the reality is you have to start with today. Where are you now? What do you say to yourself? What do you believe about the situation? So I really have people take kind of a current snapshot, because it can change in 6 months. It can change in a year. So, you know, I tell people, don't just try to visualize the future. You have to understand what's happening in your unconscious. You have to understand the things you hold internally first. Then I help them shift that current conscious experience internally. It's all about shifting their internal experience. And then the system has 6 CDs in it. Then I have them go into the past after about a week and start to identify the old tapes that are still playing. Then we get rid of those. And then I bring them into the future, and then I do what I call future pacing a person. So people don't realize there really is a process. There's a recipe to effective change. And when you understand, just like your business, right, when you understand what to do with a Roth and what you need to do with an IRA and what you need to do with all the things you teach people, most people don't know that stuff. And when they start learning it, they start creating success. This is the exact same thing. But when people try to, you know, oh, I'm going to try to, you know, patch this over here, just do this one part here, it's not near as effective as if they understand the whole process. So I have a publisher and an agent, and my book's getting done, and it's called The 7 Secrets of the Subconscious Mind, and I literally walk people through each chapter on how to create change, because most people really don't know. And, you know, affirmations are great and goal setting's great, but again, you're only dealing with the 5 to 10% of the mind, so why wouldn't you go into the 90% and really master that part of your mind, because that's the part of you that makes all your decision and create and basically drives all your behaviors.
Oh, I love it. One other thing that I had talked to my followers about in this conversation we were going to have was increasing sales or increasing profits with better quote unquote programming of your mind and your subconscious mind. One of the things you've talked about too are your secrets to subconscious selling. In fact, you have a product called 5 Secrets to Subconscious Selling. Tell us what that means, subconscious selling, if you could, and what you teach people there.
Yeah, well, oftentimes people, you know, when they're in business, you know, and you've experienced this yourself, you sit down or you go to a networking event or you meet people and they immediately, you know, what do you do? Oh, well, what do you do? And they start selling you on their product or, oh, I do this and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, we make a decision about a person within the first 7 seconds of meeting them. And, again, this I talk all about the unconscious process, not the logical process. So, you know, let's say, for instance, there's a salesperson, and I speak to tons of salespeople. I go into companies and, you know, teach this stuff. And it's fascinating to me because they will have all these scripts given to them, right, written scripts that work and that are proven. And, you know, and then I'll sit with a person and I'll say, or a group of people, and I'll say, let me ask you guys a question. What do you guys think about these scripts? And most of the time, Mark, it's negative. Oh, these won't work for me. This isn't me. You know, they resist them. So there's already a level of internal resistance of picking up the phone or whatever it is, you know, if they have to go out and do a sales presentation, whatever. So what I address is that inner stuff, so that resistance. So when I speak about subconscious selling, first of all, you know, people are extremely influential. We have the capacity to influence people if they like us and they believe us and they trust us. And if you are a person who has integrity and you're sharing a solution, I tell people all the time, I don't have to sell anything. I don't have to convince anybody of any of this stuff. I have the proven results in thousands of people I've worked with. So when I simply share a solution with them and I give them products like the CDs, I make them because most people don't know how to program their mind. So if they start listening and they start falling asleep every night and they're listening to this reconditioning in the subconscious level of their mind, their behaviors are going to change. They're going to get up and they're going to be able to pick up the phone and feel and think very differently about that behavior, to whereas in the past that might have been a task that they avoided. So there's different components, and that's just an example. There's different components to our subconscious mind, and when we're very comfortable sharing our gifts with people, when we're very confident in sharing our solutions, now, is it going to be for everybody? No, and it doesn't hurt my feelings if somebody doesn't buy my stuff. I'm like, that's fine. It's, you know, it's not for everybody. But what's nice is when I go share solutions with people and I'm giving them value and I'm teaching them really powerful things that change their life, of course I'm going to attach a price to that. Everybody should, because that's our own internal value. So when I teach people how to sell, it's a very different approach because people – Here's a really great example. If you walk into a store and there's a salesperson standing at the counter and they come running up to you and go, you know, can I help you? Can I help you? What's the first thing most people would say?
No, I'm just looking.
Yeah, no thanks, just looking, right? Nobody wants to feel sold. They're like, no, see you later. But if you walk into that same store and you saw something hanging on the wall that you wanted or needed and you couldn't reach, who's the first person you'd be looking for?
That elusive Walmart helper, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'd be looking for the salesperson, right? Like, where's somebody to help me? Right? So the point to that is at a subconscious level, no person on the planet wants to feel sold. But everybody, if they see value and they want something, they will buy it. They will spend the money. They'll be like, okay, where's that salesperson to come and help me right now? Like, I want that thing, right? It's the last one. It's on sale. I want that salesperson. So all in that internal interpretation, same exact thing. It's still a salesperson, but they're not. That person isn't feeling sold. They're wanting the thing. They see value in it, and they will buy it. So when you understand how people, human behavior, it's so predictable. When you understand how people operate and what people like and what they're attracted to and what they're repelled by, it's very easy to talk into that for people. So you're not selling anything. You don't have to close. You don't have to deal with, you know, the objections. All those traditional ways I was taught in sales, because my background is in sales, Everything I was taught, I don't do. I don't do any of it. And so it's learning in my own subconscious, how do you communicate and help a person make a decision? That's all sales is. When I know what a person needs and I can help them make that decision, whether it's a yes or no that's going to serve them, then if it's a no, I'm going to move on to the next person. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people that need my help. So I don't take the no personal. I'm very comfortable with it, and I move on. So that's why, you know, when I teach people subconscious selling skills, I interviewed thousands of people back in the day that were in sales, top producers, mostly in real estate, and I created a program called the 7 Inner Strategies for Successful Selling based on what top producers do, how they think, what they believe, what their behaviors are. So I've created my programs out of interviewing and working with really powerful people and identifying those weaknesses we have, like picking up the phone or being afraid to ask for the order. Or, you know, most salespeople are really great at building rapport, but their follow-up skills fall short. So there's, again, I've identified the weaknesses in those areas, and that's what the 5 Secrets of Subconscious Selling is about. How do you break through those internal things and then create more money?
Well, thanks for sharing that. And, folks, we're talking with Cappy Pidwell. That's Cappi Pidwell, Pidwell, and that's, of course, her website, www.cappipidwell.com, C as in Charlie, Cappi Pidwell, Pidwell, a wealth of information there. She's known as Mrs. Mindset, the renowned expert in human behavior, NLP, and hypnotherapy. One of the questions I wanted to ask you too, Cappy, was about this self-destructive behavior, where sometimes we know what we need to do. We need to be better in a certain way. We fall into this same trap constantly. And when we're right on the cusp of success, we do some sort of self-destructive, or there's a term for it I forget right now, but this some sort of action that just undercuts our ability to succeed. And we do it. And we almost do it consciously. Like, we know we shouldn't, but we do. Why does that happen? How can we overcome that hurdle of self-destructive behavior?
It's a great question, and it's called self-sabotage, yes.
Self-sabotage, that was the word I wanted, sabotage, self-sabotage, thank
yep.
you.
Yep, yep, yep. So how and why that works the way it does is when, again, think about that circle. I always refer to that when I speak. Of course, I show it on a PowerPoint or whatever. When you think about that circle and that 90% of your mind, imagine tons of dots of information in there. People will have a belief about money, and I do an exercise. I don't know if you've ever seen me do this when I speak, but I'll ask people, how much money do you believe you can make in the next 90 days? And people kind of look at me cross-eyed. Some people know, some people don't even know. Like, they don't even know. And so they'll write the number down, and then I'll say, go ahead and double that number. Now tell yourself you're going to earn that doubled number in the next 90 days, and what does that little voice start to say? And most of the time people are like, it basically just
impossible.
Blows up. I'm sorry?
Most people just say, it's impossible, I can't do it.
That's exactly right. Well, who says so? Right?
My little voice. And my little voice is always right, Cappy.
That's exactly right. And that little voice is based on the belief that you hold in your subconscious mind. So if you believe you can make, say, 100,000 or 500, the number's irrelevant. Whatever that number is for a person, whatever they're comfortable with, when you double that number, it blows up the belief. So what happens is their thinking goes, no way, that's impossible. So when they get more money that's not aligned with that core belief, that's why people sabotage. It's the statistics with the lottery winners. They win millions of dollars, but their belief is usually poverty and struggle and strain and stress over money, and guess what ends up happening? They lose massive millions of dollars because it's not in alignment with what their belief is. Their belief is typically a $60,000, $70,000 a year income earner. So it's fascinating when you begin to identify those beliefs. So if you have a money belief, which we all do, and that's what I talked about when we opened, we all have a relationship to money. We all have those old tapes, those beliefs. So if somebody says, I'm very comfortable making $5 million a year, I guarantee their income is in alignment with the belief. If somebody comes to me and says, gosh, you know, I've never made over $50,000 a year, and I really want to hit that $100,000, well, what do you believe about it? I believe it's going to be hard. I believe it's going to be difficult. I mean, I've taken people, Mark, that have made $5,000 a month for many, many, many years to over $25,000 a month in a very short duration of time. I've taken people that have made $25,000 a month into the millions. I mean, it's just all about that belief. And when you begin to identify it and you know how to get into the subconscious and shift that internal experience, is that a process? It absolutely is. It's why I have products. It's why the repetition, and I tell people this all the time, repetition in your subconscious mind is key. It took you many years to learn and think and believe and feel the way you do today. It's not a one-time, oh, just go in there with your magic wand. And no, it's a process. You have to peel through layers. You have to do it with a very gentle, easy way as your unconscious mind begins to accept these new suggestions and literally integrate them into how you feel about yourself. That's a process. So I always tell people, you know, the mind is magnificent, and it's very, very rapid change, but it's also progressive change. So somebody might wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden they wake up, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I feel amazing. Like, I'm not stressed anymore. And, you know, a week later they wake up, and they go, wow, you know, I have freedom that I've never experienced. And, you know, I tell people, if you don't go get the house to get the feeling, you start the feeling first and then the stuff follows. So when you start raising your relationship to wealth, your relationship to abundance and prosperity, and you value yourself and you really build that inner wealthy mindset, then you begin attracting very wonderful opportunities into your experience that prosper you, that make you money, that give you very rich results in many ways, financially, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever that looks like. But it really, success to me isn't just money, and I love money. I have a fabulous relationship to money, and I love growing money, and I love talking about it, and I love being with it. But it's also about, you know, who are you as a person? What's your contribution? Are you fulfilled emotionally? Are you growing spiritually? To me, it's all those levels of success, and money certainly does simplify and make life. You have a lot more choices when you have money. So.
Yep.
You know, I tell people all the time, it's a relationship you'll never be able to do a divorce. You can never leave it. So why not enrich it? Why not spend the time and really master this thing inside your mind that increases your income? Because it will.
Oh, I love it. Cappy, folks, if you get a chance to go to our website, excellent information there, very affordable ways to get started listening to tapes and tapes. Do tapes really exist anymore? Anyway, I was saying over the weekend, I miss those good old days of a good mixtape, you know, with some Duran Duran and some NXS on it. Anyway, but these CDs, they're these really cool discs you put in your car, your computer. Anyway, you can get a CD and start programming your mind immediately, and it's really phenomenal what she's done to help people get started affordably and in their own car, in their own home. So please check it out. Cappy, how do people get more of you? Website's fine. Anything you want to share about your new book or where people can get a hold of you in our last minute here?
Oh, certainly. My website's probably the best way to contact me. I have all my contact information on there, so if people want to call me directly, and you know, I do speaking events, and there is the free sample session. If people just want to go and download the free sample session, it's 10 minutes. Start listening to it. It will literally, I get so many fabulous emails, people sending me stuff, thanking me for that free session. So, you know, again, you don't want to wait. Just start saturating your mind with new information, and you'll get fabulous results. So yeah, my website, call me, email me. That's the best way to contact me. And I do very few personal sessions. They're not advertised on my website, Mark, but I do have a few exclusive clients that work with me one-on-one. And then, you know, people buy the systems and I speak, you know, all over the place. So that's typically the best way is you can go on my website and look under upcoming events, and then that shows you some of my public, you know, events. If people want to come and hear more or learn more, they can certainly do that as well.
Well, Cappy, so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope to have you back. We wish you the best, and I've learned some things today. I really have. It's a very deep conversation. And, folks, again, that's CappyPidwell.com, C-A-P-P-I, Pidwell, P as in Peter, I, D as in David, W-E-L-L.com. And the link will be there on our newsletter next week for you to get in touch with her as well. Cappy, thanks again for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great seeing you a few weeks ago. We'll have to catch up soon.
yes, absolutely. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Well, folks, please remember, it's that time of year. to get your year-end tax strategies in place. I'm holding a webinar the first week of December. You'll see it on the newsletter, another hour to hour and a half webinar exclusively with me on my webcam and my computer screen with a list of strategies you may want to implement before year-end. Also, you can talk to one of our accountants at the office that if you're working with us already, your PTC should be getting in touch with you soon and going over some year-end tips and strategies you should be implementing. So please give me a call if we can be of help. And folks, I wish you the best. Keep living the dream. Enjoy the holiday. And I'll see you next week at the 11 a.m. on Tuesday for another Mark Kohler Show. Thanks
for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.